Good morning. And as my son texts me every morning on Sunday, happy Sunday. So the Hebrew lesson for today is taken from Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's found on page 2 in the Hebrew Bible, and I believe in the large print Bible, it is also on page 2. Oops, I lost it. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of God for the people of God. And now would you join me in the responsive reading of Psalm 32? It's found on page 766 in your hymnal. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Spirit, there is no deceit. When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like an unruly horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle. Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. It can be found on page 145 in your New Testament Pew Bible or on page 189 in the large print edition. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now, as we will for the rest of Lent, to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Christ according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, page 3 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible, likewise page 3 of the New Testament in the large print version as well. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus again said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord God, your God, and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It struck me this week and this morning that it is a remarkable and a valuable coincidence that the shift to daylight saving time happened today, this first Sunday of Lent. Now, if you're like me and like most people, you probably experience that time shift as an upset in your daily schedule and as a period of transition as you get used to this new reality. In a similar way, true followers of Christ may well experience this first Sunday of Lent as an upset in your daily schedule and as a period of transition as you get used to this new Lenten reality. And one clearly is a simple change in clocks and your watch, while the other is an important change in your commitment to Christ. That is, your commitment to becoming a fuller disciple of Jesus. Last week on Transfiguration Sunday, I made the observation that in many respects, the whole story of Lent boils down to the story of how God's nature became Jesus' reality, and how then Jesus' reality can and should become your reality. The simple task of Lent, should you choose to accept it, is to become more like Christ. Simple, yes, but certainly not easy. Starting today and over the next 6 weeks, we will follow along in Jesus' footsteps as the Gospel of Matthew today and then the Gospel of John describe the amazing stories of Jesus' adult ministries. We'll watch and learn how Jesus reflected God's true nature of love and how Jesus lived into the reality of God's kingdom here on earth. Today we read familiar stories that span the Bible from Genesis to Matthew to Romans. The story of Adam and Eve exercising their free will and making that fateful decision to eat the forbidden fruit. And then the story of Jesus going head to head with the devil in the wilderness. These are the stories of the beginning of humankind's decision to turn away from God's goodness and the beginning of Jesus' work among us in living out God's will. Context is always important when it comes to understanding the Bible and also in understanding God's message for your life. As you may well remember, Matthew's story of the temptation of Jesus comes immediately after the story of Jesus' baptism. This will probably sound familiar to you after last Sunday. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Baptized by John the Baptist and anointed by God, Jesus was then immediately led into the wilderness by this same dove-like spirit and into a fast that would last 40 days and 40 nights. Does that 40 sound familiar to you? Well, in the early church in the first centuries, Lent was a season to prepare people to be baptized into the faith community. These days, however, Lent is also about living into our baptismal covenant more fully. In the early liturgies of baptism, the person to be baptized was asked this question, first and foremost, "Do you renounce Satan and all his works?" Well, these words have been changed a little bit these days. We ask the question with a few different words, as you may well remember. "On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject all that is evil, repent of your sin, and accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?" Well, I want you to think about this story from Matthew. Before Jesus could begin to fully live out his commitment to God, he was tempted by Satan in several ways. But at every opportunity, he renounced Satan and all his works. Jesus made the conscious and absolutely necessary decision to become completely obedient to God's will. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. My friends, you are in a similar position on this first Sunday of Lent. Before you can begin to fully live out your commitment to God, you should remember the baptismal covenant in your present context. Do you renounce Satan and all his works? Do you reject all that is evil, repent of your sin, and accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? God has already accomplished the real work of salvation through one man's obedience. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. My sisters and brothers, it may sound like an anachronism for you in the 21st century to renounce Satan and all that is evil around you. If so, let me ask you this. If you were to go for 40 days and 40 nights as Jesus did without food, do you think you'd be hungry? Well, Scripture tells us that Jesus was famished, and clearly you would be too. Well, if our Lord was tempted by food and physical pleasures, by security, by power and position, by wealth and property and prosperity, What makes you think that you are not equally tempted by these worldly excesses as well? Let's get real. I am tempted daily by these things, and I am not always obedient to God's will. But how about you? Are you tempted on a regular basis by food and physical pleasures, by security, by power and position, and by wealth and property and prosperity? Are you obedient to God's will and God's will alone? My friends, true followers of Christ may well experience this first Sunday of Lent as an upset in your daily schedule and as a period of transition as you get used to this new Lenten reality. You may well have taken on new sacrifices and new devotions and new forms of service after Ash Wednesday. You may well have recommitted yourself to becoming a fuller disciple of Jesus. To that I say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm praying for you every day in this time of temptation and transition. The website for the General Board of Discipleship has a terrific challenge that I want to share with you. Quote, "The first Sunday of Lent is a clarion call for all present to declare renunciation of all powers as the first act of faithfulness to the Christ who calls us to follow." Will you renounce Satan and all forms of evil? Will you obey God's will? Will you follow Jesus Christ? Let it be so. Amen.